Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard about a woman who has cracked the glass ceiling? Yeah, we hear about glass ceiling a lot, especially with Hillary thinking about running for the White House. Tell me, do you know what it takes to have major accounts with stores like Kmart, Toys R Us, and Mattel Toys, and many others? Have you ever wanted to know about what it's like to not only survive cancer, but to thrive and then turn around and create new careers? Would you like to learn about the Cancer Club? Here's what you need to know about cancer once you join the Cancer Club. Can you imagine writing 8 books, all of them with humor and hope? Now, have you ever heard about a best-selling book called Not Now, I'm Having a No Hair Day? Yeah, you heard me right, No Hair Day. Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to deal with cancer? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest. She is a success coach extraordinaire, and she will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice along the way. I'm pleased to announce that our show is live on Talk4Media with iHeartRadio with over 50 million subscribers. We are archived at iHeart for your listening pleasure. Also, LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during last year. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. You know, all of us have read or heard stories about people who turn lemons into lemonade. And it isn't often that we get the privilege of meeting someone who has done just that. Before her bout with breast cancer, my guest had definitely cracked the glass ceiling. By age 40, she was senior executive vice president for the SPAR Group, an international marketing firm out of New York. She was once the top salesperson in the multi-billion dollar retail services industry. She had accounts with Kmart, Toys R Us, Procter & Gamble, AT&T, Mattel Toys, and Revlon. My guest was diagnosed with breast cancer in December 1994. She wrote 8 award-winning portrayals of her story in books, including her bestsellers, Not Now, I'm Having a No Hair Day, and You, Inc., The Art of Selling Yourself. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show today, Christine Clifford. Hi, Christine. How are you doing?
Hi, January. I'm doing terrific. How about you?
Oh, wonderful. And I want to share with my listeners that I met Christine earlier this year at the AATH conference in Vincennes, Indiana. And the conference was fabulous. It was held at the Red Skelton Museum there at the college. And Christine was one of the keynote speakers, and her speech was fabulous. And once I heard her speak, I just knew I had to get her on the show. and she's also got such a great sense of humor. I know all of you will love her today. Christine, could you start out and share with my listeners just where your success story began, where you were born, and who your early mentors were?
Oh, what a loaded question. Well, let's see here. I grew up in Los Angeles, in Pasadena, California.
Okay.
And you ask where my success story began, and I actually believe that my personal success story began when I was 15 years old and had to watch my mother go through a unsuccessful breast cancer experience. Things were a lot different back in those days, you know, over 40 years ago. But
sure.
Because I observed what was going through her life at that time, an era when I was diagnosed with breast cancer over 20 years ago now, I really decided to change the cancer experience. And so I really have to look back that many years ago and say, I think my journey started as a very young girl.
Mm-hmm.
My mentors along the way, that is a wonderful question. And I like the fact that you put an S on the end of mentor, because I'm a firm believer that we never have one mentor in life. We have lots of mentors in life.
Mm-hmm.
But significant people in my career path was the gentleman, his name is Bob Brown, who hired me to work for a company called the Spar Group out of New York, which I did for 20 years,
uh-huh.
calling on all those big accounts that you mentioned.
Yeah,
really took me under his wing and taught me everything I needed to know about sales and marketing. Harvey McKay has been a mentor to me when I first wrote a book and wanted to go out in the world of professional speaking. Harvey was somebody who gave me a lot of advice. And the list could go on and on and on, but I still seek out mentors and still try to mentor other people as well.
Well, you know, I try to do that too. And I think it's important to share with our listeners how important it is to find mentors for whatever field you want to go into. Once you find those mentors, you make connections that will last your entire lifetime. And the bottom line, Christine, is I think you'll agree with me, it's pointless to go out there and reinvent the wheel when you have so many wonderful people out there who are willing to help you. Don't you agree?
Oh, I totally agree. And I also firmly believe that when asked, most people are more than willing to donate their time and knowledge. You know, we often get afraid of asking somebody for help or asking somebody mm-hmm. to assist us. But, you know, most people are really touched by that and honored that
yes.
they've been asked to help.
Uh-huh.
And so I highly encourage everybody to go after the stars. I mean, reach for the moon. You know, ask people to mentor you who you never thought would even offer you the time of the day, and you never know what can come out of those experiences. I did that with Harvey many years ago.
Okay. So there are surprises out there, but and it gets always back to the old adage, if you don't ask, nothing will happen. And even if someone says no, you just keep going on. It's not the end of the world. Christine, share with my listeners laughter prescription for a cure and just the illnesses that your own immediate family has dealt with over the years.
Oh my gosh. I keep saying that one of my books is going to be When Your Gene Pool is a Cesspool. But
I love it.
My family has unfortunately, but somewhat successfully dealt with a wide variety of health challenges. I lost my mom at the age of 42 to breast cancer. My
mm-hmm.
father died of heart disease at the age of 63 following two open heart surgeries.
Wow.
I've had a brother with a kidney transplant.
Mm-hmm.
I've had family members suffer from bipolar, depression. You know, the list goes on and on and on. But through it all of the family members that I've had have and had had a positive attitude about life, and that you make the most of what of the hand you were dealt. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly a lesson that I learned, you know, very early on in my life.
Oh, it's such an important lesson, and we're going to talk more about it in the next segment. But first, I want you to briefly share the experience for you of breaking the glass ceiling with SPAR.
Well, I like to think that I was able to do that because I was in the right place at the right time. I did have mentors, and I was an extremely, and still am, January, extremely hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
But the success that I had at SPAR Marketing was, the peak of it was in 1993, I actually sold a $34 million contract to Procter & Gamble, which literally doubled the size of our company overnight.
And
that was quite a stressful period of my life. Because those of your listeners who are out there who may have experienced rapid growth in their businesses know that, you know, growth can be painful. It can be very,
mm-hmm.
very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I worked hard. I was in an industry that was predominantly male, but I felt that was an advantage to me to be female. And I created what I've written about in subsequent years. I created what I called extraordinary customer relationships with my clients.
Okay, okay. And give us a few tips on how you created those extraordinary relationships.
Well, to me, you know, the way the world is today with young people in their 30s and 40s that are out there making sales calls and half the time they never even get an opportunity to meet the person that they're trying to sell.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's the disadvantage. You know, creating extraordinary client relationships means involvement. It means time. It means I care about you. I want to get to know you. I want to get mm-hmm. to know your family and everything about you. So I would really cultivate relationships where if my client, for example, liked to go to baseball games, we'd go
mm-hmm.
to a baseball game. If they like to go out to eat, I'd take them to a nice restaurant. If they golfed, we'd go golfing. Whatever it was, I found a way to create time, because time really does say, I care about you.
Oh, yes, for sure. For sure. That is such fabulous advice that you're sharing, that personal connection. And, you know, nowadays so many people just get involved in networking and Twittering and Facebook and all those wonderful sites. But the reality is when you can look someone in the eyes, it really means a lot to them. And it's a wonderful gesture, especially if it's heartfelt. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I always say, you know, speak to people heart to heart, face to face, eyeball to eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really
mm-hmm.
get in front of somebody. And, you know, back in the days when I was working for the SPAR group, you know, I hopped on a plane and,
mm-hmm.
and flew to their location if they weren't local. And, you know, people just don't do that much anymore.
I know that. The key, I agree with you. I think the key to success, one of the keys is having great mentors, and the other one is being prepared to go all out and give of yourself and create connections. Speaking of connections, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back with the wonderful Christine Clifford, we're going to talk about laughter, a prescription for the cure. We'll be right back.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredemski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com. Everyone deserves a happy life. Life is supposed to be fun. Your life is supposed to feel good, and you're meant to feel happiness in your life and to satisfy your dreams. And you can. Because the only reason anyone wants anything or does anything is that they think they will feel better in the having of it or the doing of it. They think they will feel better in the experiencing of it. Coming soon, a website where you can learn more on how you can have the life you deserve at afeelgoodworld.com.
I want to share with all of our listeners that Tom and Jared and Dale are all regulars on the show, and they visit with us once a month, and all of their shows and information are archived at iHeartRadio. I'm welcoming back our lovely guest. She's a guest who is fun, fascinating, fabulous, and fearless. Christine Clifford, tell us about what happened and how laughter became the prescription for a cure after you had cancer.
Well, my first journey with cancer was 20 years ago at the age of 40. And I found a phenomenon that I think a lot of people can relate to. It doesn't necessarily have to be cancer, but when any type of adversity comes into someone's life and their friends and family hear about it, they often don't know what to say or do, so they end up saying nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed people in my life back then when I was going through that experience. And so I found humor to be a great connector of people. If I could make somebody laugh and put them at ease, then they wanted to communicate with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I started drawing the cartoons that became my first book, Not Now I'm Having a No Hair Day. And what would happen is, let's say somebody sent me a bouquet of flowers. People mm-hmm. were doing a lot of what I called silent gestures of support. They okay. were sending flowers, they were sending cards, they were dropping meals off, often ringing the doorbell and leaving before I could even come to the door to thank them.
Uh-huh.
And so I had a little cartoon I'd drawn, which was a true story. My 8-year-old son had answered the doorbell 3 days after my surgery. I was lying in bed, and he yelled up the stairs to me, "Mom, more flowers for your breast." And so I would take that little cartoon, if someone sent me flowers, and I would mail it to them and say, "Thank you so much for the beautiful flowers." And then an amazing thing happened January.
Uh-huh.
People would pick up the phone and call me, and they would say, "Where did you get that cartoon?"
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation began. So I quickly found out that laughter and focusing on humor was a lot better for me than crying and feeling sorry for myself.
Oh, yes. And that began, that cartoon was the beginning of your writing career, wasn't it?
Well, it absolutely was. You know, I, for a long time, was writing humorous cartoon books about cancer experiences. And, of course, what happened after my first book, Not Now I'm Having a No Hair Day, came out, is mm-hmm. people from all over the world started sending me their funny stories about something that had happened to them
yeah.
when they had cancer. So I've put a lot of those stories with my trademark cartoons into subsequent books, Cancer Has Its Privileges, Stories of Hope and Laughter, and my most recent cancer book, Laugh Till It Heals.
Oh,
so I've collected
like
stories from cancer patients, you know, from all over the world. It's been terrific.
Okay. Now let me just share with our listeners, Laugh Till It Heals, Notes from the World's Funniest Cancer Mailbox. This includes interviews with 9 of the world's leading authorities on the use of therapeutic humor. This book shares the funny stories from members of the Cancer Club with laugh out loud illustration and tips on how to help a loved one with cancer and lots of laughs. All of your books are just amazing. Share with my listeners now where they can get these books.
Well, the best place to get them is at cancerclub.com because
okay.
Then the books can get autographed.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody, you know, sends in a special request that they'd like a book autograph for a friend or family member, you know, I'm happy to do that. But all of my books are also available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com as well.
Okay. And are they in Kindle format?
Yes.
Okay, yep. Wonderful. Well, just to inspire people listening, some of the other titles which we're going to talk about today, one title is Not Now, I'm Having a No Hair Day. Another title is Our Family Has Cancer Too, Cancer Has Its Privileges, Stories of Hope and Laughter, Inspiring Breakthrough Secrets to Live Your Dreams, Your Guardian Angel's Gift. And these books are the most wonderful gifts anyone can give anyone who has cancer, or even just give it to the family, because I think it's the kind of book that people pass around to each other and share, which is why you wrote these books, isn't it?
Well, it is, and thank you so much for the compliment. I really wanted to get away from the medical analytical books that so many of us are given to read when we are faced with a chronic illness or disease. And I wanted to let people know that they can find life and a good life on the other side of their treatments. So, you know, my focus of finding humor was not only good for me personally, because it took my mind far, far away from where I was at the time, going through treatments and surgeries and radiation and all that, to, you know, a happier place. And we all need that in our lives.
Oh, yeah. That is so, so true. How did you come up with the title, Not Now, I'm Having a No Hair Day?
Well, the reality of it was I was sitting in my office as an executive, you know, for the marketing company, and my administrative assistant came in and was complaining, and she said, you know, oh, I'm having a bad hair day. And I took one look at her, and I pulled the wig off the top of my head, and I said, you think you're having a bad hair day? I'm having a no hair day.
That is a great story. And could you share the classic story about your flying wig at the golf tournament?
Well, I would love to. I'm an avid golfer, and the year that I was going through my treatments originally, back in 1994 and 5, we were having a brutal winter in Minnesota, although this last one may have topped it. But so we decided to get away from my treatments and the cold Minnesota winter, so we flew off to Scottsdale, Arizona. And while we were there, there was an event being played on the senior PGA golf tour. And so we bought tickets, and I was standing on the tee watching my three idols in golf tee off. This was Jack Nicklaus, Raymond Floyd, and Tom Weisskopf.
Oh, wow.
Well, a gust of wind came up January and blew my hat and my hair right off my head, right into the middle of the fairway.
Oh, no.
Now, there were about 10,000 people lining this fairway, and there was not a peep. So I took a deep breath, and I went under the ropes, and I ran out into the middle of the fairway and grabbed my hat and my hair, and I stopped and turned to the golfers and said, by the way, gentlemen, the wind is blowing left to right.
Oh, that's one of my favorite stories. And Christine shares that story in Chicken Soup for the Golfer's Soul, which is a wonderful book we recommend too. And also you did an NBC special. And was that on that topic, or what did you do for that 6-minute special?
Oh, you know, talked about how I found humor in the journey and, you know, shared some of my funny stories and, you know, same thing I always do, just trying to make people laugh and forget their problems and realize, you know, that they can get through challenges and still have a really terrific life.
Well, you know, the laughter, the prescription for a cure, I think so many people, as you said earlier, they probably, when they get a diagnosis, they go into shock. And I think a lot of people just freeze and they just don't know how to put one foot ahead of the other. And if you can get a hold of this philosophy and incorporate laughter into the healing process, it will really make a tremendous difference, won't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I do want to point something out, January, which is very important to me, which is there is nothing humorous about getting a diagnosis of cancer or heart disease or dementia or Parkinson's or any of those diseases. But in a lot of cases, these diseases take a long time to cure. For some, there are no cure, so you learn to live with disease for the rest of your life. And to me, the advice I like to give patients and people facing these things is you can't change what happened to you, so try to embrace it and try to live as normal of life as you can. And, of course, a big part of our normal everyday life is laughter.
Oh,
finding things that make us laugh.
Oh, that is such wonderful advice. And I hope all of our listeners are taking it in. And a part of my normal day is not only laughter, but it's also sponsors. So we're going to hear from two sponsors, and we'll be right back with Christine Clifford.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems. People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes. People who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym, on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique, with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
Well, I hope everyone listening, if you aren't socially fit, I hope you will become that way this year, 2014. We're happy to welcome back a truly, truly priceless personality on our show today, Christine Clifford. Now, Christine, let's talk a little bit about what led to you organizing and founding the Cancer Club. How did that come about?
Well, I started the company because in all the wonderful things that people did for me when I was going through my cancer experience 20 years ago, nobody ever gave me anything that made me laugh. Mm-hmm. And so I thought my marketing background kind of kicked into high gear, and I thought, you know, I'm going to create a company that markets humorous and helpful products for people with cancer. My very first product was actually an exercise back in the day, video. We didn't have DVDs, but it is a DVD today. An exercise video for women recovering from breast cancer surgery called One Move at a Time. And so I just, again, humorous and helpful products for people with cancer. there wasn't any kind of exercise video out there for people going through cancer treatment, you know, 20 years ago.
Right.
And so I really just started searching for gifts that I thought would lift people's spirits, but also bring some humor into their lives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is so important to have the humor there. Now, I love the inspiration. Am I out of sick days yet? Could you tell us about how you came up with that topic?
Well, you know, the reality of it is most of us end up using our sick days as mental health days. You know, it's a beautiful summer day and we want to maybe take our kids or our grandkids to the lake or whatever. But, you know, that program that I teach, Am I Out of Sick Days Yet, is really about how can you support somebody that you work with that's going through treatment for some type of illness or disease. And there's all kinds of things people can do, you know, from donating their vacation days or time to offering to drive them to and from work or pick up their kids and take them to doctor's appointments. You know, I've got a whole list of things in all the books that I've written, you know, about how you can support somebody there.
Okay. Now, what about when cancer comes to a family? How do we deal with the children? Because so often they feel neglected and they don't really understand what's going on. What are your thoughts on children and cancer?
Well, I did write a children's book called Our Family Has Cancer Too, which is about the fact that, you know, most kids feel so alone. They feel like their family's the only one going through it, where in reality there's probably lots and lots of families at their schools or churches or whatever that are going through the same experience. And so my advice is to be as honest with children as you possibly can be, but to also understand that they'll never fully understand the seriousness of the disease, and that's okay. That is okay to let them still live their life. You know, I had a goal. My two boys were 10 and 8 when I was diagnosed with cancer 20 years ago. You know, they're now 30 and 27. And, of course, my goal, my personal goal, was to see them graduate from high school. And then, of course, when they graduated from high school, I renegotiated with my God and said I'd like to see them graduate from college. And now that they've done that, you know, like to see them gainfully employed. You know, you go on and on. But one of the things I really did not want to have happen when I was diagnosed with cancer was I didn't want my cancer to define their lives. I did not want to be walking through the mall with my kids and run into someone we know, and the first question they ask the kids is, you know, well, how's your mom doing? Oh, you know, I want them to say, how are you doing? How's school? What sports are you playing? You know, so we made a concerted effort as a family to keep things going just as we would, you know, any other family, and to also seek out humor and find things to make us laugh.
Oh, that is so important. And this is such a hard thing for a family to go through, and children at any stage, I don't care how old they are. It's very traumatic experience. Let's talk a little bit now about your celebrity golf tournament. You know, I'm a golfer too. Share with my listeners how that came about and how much money you've earned with it.
Oh, well, thank you. The golf tournament is actually retired now, but I did host a celebrity golf tournament for a number of years to raise money for breast cancer research, and our proceeds were donated to the American Cancer Society, and we raised $1 million.
Oh, wonderful.
So it was great fun, and wonderful celebrities, you know, Amy Grant and Larry Gatlin, the Grammy Award-winning country western singer, lots of people came to the golf tournament and contributed and played. And again, that's just a great way to network with people and get to know people and take your mind off all your worries.
Or create new ones.
Or create new ones. That's exactly right.
Yeah. I'm one of those people who comes off the golf course with more problems than when I went on.
Oh, dear.
now, Christine, let's talk a little bit about your CEO, president of Divorcing Divas. How did that come about?
Well, that came about 6 years ago. I have been through two divorces, and basically, I was the initiator. I did divorce my child, my college sweetheart, married 29 years, and then I rebounded way too quickly into a really bad marriage that involved domestic violence and alcoholism and a lot of other things. And so when I got divorced, despite the fact that all the negative feelings were there that anyone would experience, sadness, loneliness, shame, embarrassment, I actually felt empowered, like I was taking back control of my life. And yet I would get introduced to other people or had friends going through divorces. And honestly, some of them, January, you know, couldn't get out of bed in the morning. Many of them were taking medication for depression. And I thought, what did I do where I feel so empowered and they feel so weak? Mm-hmm. And I realized that I'd gone about my divorces like I've gone about starting three successful businesses. And so I decided I'm going to help these people get through their divorces. So I started an annual conference that's held in Minneapolis. Our conference this year is our sixth annual Happily Ever After conference on Saturday, September 27th in Minneapolis. And people can go to divorcingdivas.com to learn more about the conference and event registration. But it's a wonderful, wonderful day of encouragement, hope, inspiration, resources, and making new friends and realizing you're not alone out there.
Oh, what a service. And I think what a role model you have become for women with cancer and for women dealing with divorce, both very difficult, traumatic things for anyone to go through at any time in their life. We're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back with Christine, we're going to talk a little bit about her company that she started, Life Vantage. Also, we're going to share all four of her websites so you can follow her on the internet. We'll be right back with Christine Clifford.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com. What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play in well-being, provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Well, as I shared earlier, AATH Conference was where I first met and heard Christine Clifford's fantastic presentation. I'm so happy to have her back on the show today. She's a tough lady, she's truthful, and her message is timely. Christine, you talk about cancer has its privileges. Could you comment on that?
Oh, yes. I would love to, January. I have to truly say that when I was diagnosed with cancer 20 years ago, that it was a gift for me in the long run. It was difficult to go through. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, but the gifts or the privileges that came to me as a result of having cancer were priceless. For one thing, it solidified the bonds in my family. We grew close, you know, trying to search for humor and write these mm-hmm. funny books.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, it opened up career opportunities for me that I never knew I had inside of me to write uh-huh. books, to start professionally speaking. My speaking has taken me all over the world. I have met literally hundreds of thousands of people from all walks of life. And it gave me all of the members of the Cancer Club, you know, a community to lead and to inspire and to motivate that they can get through their cancer experiences too. Now, I shared at AATH conference, and I know you know, that last year I was diagnosed with cancer again after 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
This journey has not been as humorous as it was the first time. In
right.
fact, I keep saying this was God's way of telling me I needed some new material. But, you know,
yeah.
it's been a tough journey, and I've had a lot of challenges, and I'm actually going in for surgery on Thursday to continue the process. But, you know, it really, I look at my life, and every day when I wake up, I'm so grateful for the day and what that day has in store for me and the people who I might meet or the things that might happen to me in that day. And I look back and say, you know, I've had 20 years of good health, wonderful people. So really, my life has been a privilege.
Well, I can't begin to thank you so much for fearlessly sharing what you've just shared with my audience, mm-hmm. listeners. And I know they all will have you in their thoughts and prayers on Thursday. And, you know, the second time around is really quite a journey, isn't it?
Well, it is. And you know, I don't know why I thought I was scot-free, you know, but I did. I thought, oh, this was never going to happen to me again. But it did. And, you know, in the 20 years since I was diagnosed originally, I did find out I was a carrier of the BRCA1 gene, which
okay.
Angelina Jolie has made so famous.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom died of it, you know, at 42. My sisters had ovarian cancer, and I have brothers, you know, who
sure.
have managed to escape that up to this point. But, you know, when genetics play a role in your family, there's really not much you can do about it. You know, your destiny was kind of written for you, and so you have to accept that. You have to say, this was my destiny, and I'm doing the best that I can.
Oh. Now, that is so admirable. I want to share with our listeners, there's four websites you can go to, ChristineClifford.com, CancerClub.com, DivorcingDivas.com, LifeVantage.com, Live Young. Share with us a little bit the story of LifeVantage. What is that?
Well, LifeVantage is a company that sells just a couple products, a supplement and a skincare line of products, but I'm an avid user, and the products have literally changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I encourage people to go on the website, LifeVantage.com/liveyoung, and
uh-huh.
see how it can positively change their life, too.
Well, you certainly are a busy, busy lady.
This is true, January.
I'm so impressed with you.
I'm multitasking as I do this interview. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, I wouldn't be surprised if you're not sitting there doing your nails and typing with your feet. Right now.
No, you have my full undivided attention.
Okay. What does success mean to you today as we speak? And do you have any regrets or things you would do differently?
Well, success to me means that you have come to a place in your life where you feel totally fulfilled. It's a place that I aspired to all of my life and that I aspire to for my children. And I realize that while I continue this journey with cancer a second time, that if I die tomorrow, I've lived an incredible life. The people I've met, the places I've gone, the acknowledgement that's been given to me in my various careers, my kids, seeing my kids grow up and thrive and find partners in life and all of those wonderful things. You know, success is peace of mind. Success is knowing that every day you've gone out and done the best you can possibly do. And beyond that, we can do no more. As far as regrets, I try not to have any regrets. I think everything in life happens for a reason. And even the worst experiences that I've had in life, and my cancer experience has not been close to my worst experiences in life, they all happen, you know, to teach me something or remind me of something or have me, you know, learn something new. And so, sure, I could, you know, name off a few things that I would change differently if I could, you know, turn back the hands of time and live my life differently. But they happened in my life, or there were decisions that I made. And, you know, forgiveness is a huge piece of the puzzle in terms of getting over regret. You just forgive yourself and say, okay, that's something I did. Wouldn't do it again. Let's move on.
Well, I like your philosophy. You're a very classy lady, and it's really been an honor to have you on the show and to share you with my wonderful listeners. I hope that you will come back again, because we have so much we haven't even talked about. I wanted to get to talking about the art of selling yourself, let's close a deal, turn contacts into paying customers for your company. You have so many topics that I could interview you for a week.
Well, I'd love to come back, January, so you call me anytime.
Okay, and you take care and get healthy as soon as you can. To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed this show today. Isn't she special? My upcoming guests are all just like Christine, exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze you, amuse you, and astonish you. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. I would love to welcome you to our No Whining world. We really love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. It's our hope we can encourage all of you to emulate our guests today and every day. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling, and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate, and maybe even a glass of wine will help. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest today, Christine Clifford. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity. as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.